Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and we're always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, friend, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, so He can be yours, if you'll just put your trust in Him." I'll tell you, friend, listen, if you'd take Christ as your Savior, if you'd realize you're lost, repent of your sin, and by faith receive Him, I'll tell you what, friend, I'll tell you what, you'd never regret it. You'd never regret it. You'd regret not being saved earlier. I've never met a person, never met the first person who professed Christ as their Savior to say, "Boy, I'm sorry that I'm saved." Never heard anybody say, "Man, listen, the worst decision I ever made was to trust Christ, to get my sins washed away with the blood, to get my name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, to get sealed with the Spirit of God. Hey, to be set free, to become new. Hey, it's the worst thing I ever did." I've never heard anybody say that. But I've heard many, many men and women, after that they've been saved, maybe late in life, maybe, and can I tell you what? Friend, look, when we get saved, it's always later than what we wish we had. I'll guarantee you that. But oh, look, today God's given you another privilege, another opportunity. If you'll choose to trust Him, hey, the Bible said, "Whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you can't do that unless the Spirit of God is dealing with you. I know that. I know the Word of God says, "If I be lifted up, it would draw men to me." And I know no man can come to the Father except the Father which sent me draw him. I know it all works together. But I guarantee you, if you want to be saved, you want to be saved, bless God, you go to Christ. You go to God in prayer and He'll save you. Well, I've got a message I hope is a blessing to us. I've opened my Bible to the book of chapter 26 of the book of Acts, and I'll be looking at one verse there, probably verse 28, and I'll share the message God has laid on my heart. It's kind of simple, I think, but yet in many ways it's profound. I believe it's one that needs to be heard and spoken today, so I trust that it is a blessing to you. But before I do that, Deb's got a song queued up, tuned up, and ready to go. The title of it is, "If It Were Not For His Grace." Well, I don't know how much you know about grace, but it's a great thing to have. Hey, I'll be back when Debbie gets done with the song. Enjoy it.
If it were not for His grace, oh, there go I. And if it were not for His grace, I should have bled and died. If it were not for His grace, on the cross should have. For His grace.
grace, friend, I would have died. I would have died, listen, and gone to a devil's hell. That's really what I deserve. But you know what? That's what grace is about. Grace is getting something you do not deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. Thank you, Debbie, for that song. What a wonderful song that it is. Look, friend, I'm looking in the book of Acts, chapter 26. I'm going to read verse 28 for our consideration. And it's going to get me to the place where I can share the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in the last part of his message that he had presented to a man by the name of Agrippa, King Agrippa. And oh, what a message the Apostle Paul preached. In fact, above this, Paul said, hey, listen. He said, do you believe, Agrippa? He said, I know that thou believest. And look at what verse 28 says. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I like what Paul goes on to say. He said, listen, I would to God that not only you, but all those that hear me today were just exactly like I am, except these bonds and chains that I have. In other words, said, hey, I wish that you were not only almost persuaded, but all persuaded, so that you could become what I am, so that you could have what I have, and that's salvation by grace through faith. You become saved and sure of it, saved and know that your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what a wonderful thing that is to know. But I'm going to talk to you today out of that, listen, about this thought, what being a Christian means. What being a Christian means. Here in this verse 28 of chapter 26 of the book of Acts is one of the only three places we find the word Christian mentioned in the Bible. In the book of Acts chapter 11 verse 26, you'll find it. We'll turn to it here before the message is over, I hope to. But the Bible says there they were called Christians first at Antioch. And then over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, we find it for the third time. And listen to what he said in chapter 4, verse 16. He said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on this behalf. So we want to talk to you today, by the grace of God, hopefully for the glory of God, what it means to be a Christian, what being a Christian means. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. There was a time in America when really nobody had to explain what being a Christian means. I mean, we're a Christian nation, regardless of what people in the Capitol say, regardless of what people in the media say, regardless, friend, of what those who oppose Christianity and are trying to destroy America and change our heritage and do a reset on everything. Hey, I want you to know we're a Christian nation at the core, and there's still, friend, many, many who are grassroots believers in the grace of God and the God of grace. Let me tell you something. There was years ago that this message really, really didn't need to be preached, but sad to say, it certainly needs to be preached today. I mean, to tell you the understanding of what it means to be Christ-like and as a follower of Christ. Oh, look, it needs to be preached and proclaimed. And let me tell you what being a Christian means. It's more than having a title stuck to you, more than being associated with some group. Thank God, to be a Christian means that we are Christ-like. In fact, in reality, when you thrash it out, it means to be little Christs. Isn't that something? Back over in the book of Acts here, chapter 11, verse 26, I believe I mentioned that to you a few minutes ago. It was given as a term it was a derogatory term. I mean, they didn't mean it as a compliment. When they were coined or named as Christians, it was a negative connotation. But aren't you glad? Thank God the Holy Spirit has taken that and used it, friend, to identify us with the one true God, with His Son who died at Calvary, who is alive and is coming back again. But oh, look, we need to understand some things. We need to understand that the name name, the name of Christ, means that we've been born from above. And when Jesus talked to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of the book of John's Gospel, oh, that religious man, that Pharisee who believed the Word of God, believed in the resurrection, believed in angels. Oh, listen, friend, Jesus looked at that man that was just religious and said, you must be born again, which means to be born from above. It means, friend, we become a partaker of the divine nature of God. If you look in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, I believe that you'll find Peter right, that we've been partakers, made partakers of the divine nature. Oh, listen, friend, when you get saved, when you get born from above, hey, listen, you know what you get? You get God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit to come and take their abode up in your heart. Let me tell you something. I don't know how that the heavens of heavens cannot contain God, but all at the same time He could come and find His place in my heart and your heart. I don't know how that happens, but I'm here to tell you, I bless God that that's what happens when we put our trust and our faith in Christ Jesus. You know what else being a Christian means? It means, listen, friend, although that we're in the world, we're not of the world. And let me say this, much emphasis needs to be placed here. He said in the book of John chapter 14, where we find what is really the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and following, was given by our Lord to His apostles to teach Him, His disciples to teach them how to pray. But the model prayer is that, but the Lord's Prayer, thank God, is found in John 17 and in verse 11. Jesus says He was praying for me and His apostles and all of those who had put their trust in Christ. He said, look, they are in the world. Now look, we're here. That's where we ought to live our Christianity out. But He doesn't stop there. He said in verse 17, He said, but they are not of the world. Actually, it may be verse 14. I'm not looking. You'll just have to look. But it means, friend, listen, that though we're in the world, we're not partakers of it. We need to, bless God, get away from it. I mean, if you read the New Testament in the epistles, you'll find Paul and even Peter saying something like, and such were some of you. I'll tell you, if you get saved, if you get born again, you're not what you used to be. Bless God, and you ought to not be how you used to be. If you say you've been saved and there's been no change, let me tell you, friend, there's been no change. And look, you know what else it means to be a Christian? It means we're no longer a slave to sin, but we're a slave to sin, to the world, of the flesh and the devil. And if you read the book of Romans chapter 6, you'll find that beginning in verse 20 on down through verse 23, you'll find that we were, this is one of these references to what I just said, we were the servants of sin. But thank God something happened. We were made free. When we were free from righteousness, but when something happened, when we trusted Christ as our Savior, hey, listen, friend, do you know what happened? But now we're made free from sin and become the servants to God. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, there's been a change in me. You know what else it means? You know what being a Christian means? Bless God, it means that we're saved by His grace through faith. It means that He saved us from our sins and not in our sins. Look in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Word of God says this. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, friend, I'll tell you what, works has nothing to do with either gaining our salvation or keeping our salvation. But, hear me closely. Paul goes on to write in verse 9 of the book of Ephesians chapter 2, when he said that although we're saved by grace through faith, he does say in verse 10, listen now, out of what he says, and it's really clear. He said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works." I'll tell you, I'm not saved by my works. I'm not even kept by my works. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll work for the glory of God because I am saved. Thank God. I'll tell you, I believe God wants us to bring forth fruit and meat for the repentance that we have had. Now look, it means that we've been saved by grace through faith. And you know what else it means? It means that, listen, He has saved us from our sins, not in our sins. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when Gabriel, the angel, that great messenger angel to the nation of Israel, brought news to Joseph about the bride that he had espoused himself to by the name of Mary of Nazareth, he assured Joseph that his beloved wife-to-be, his espoused wife, it was as if they were already married, although they didn't have the privileges of being married. Hey, listen, you know what he said? He said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that was conceived in her, is conceived of the Holy Ghost." Now listen, he said, look, she's going to bear a son. Now watch this. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin." Not in their sin. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, listen, this gospel of the grace of God that saved us, it doesn't save us, friend, to sin, but it saves us from the power of sin. Saves us, thank God, and sets us free to serve. Oh, we're not to continue in our sin, but just like being a Christian means, it means that we've repented of our sin. It means that we've had a change of mind about sin, which has produced a change in our life, in our lifestyle, to a degree that it can be said, and it's real, friend, that I'm a new creature in Christ. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, how the Bible says, "If or since any man, woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's why I said a while ago, if you claim to name the name of Jesus, if you claim to have been saved by the grace of God, I'll tell you, friend, listen, you're changed. I mean, your desires change. Your heart has changed. Your mind has changed. Your thoughts are changed. Your speech has changed. You're doing, you're desiring the places you used to go, the people you used to hang with. I'm telling you, there's been a change. Just like the song says, there's been a change in me. There's no doubt. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, when you come to Christ, listen, you become born again. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know what it means, friend? You know what it means, what being a Christian means? It not only means you're a new creation in Christ, but it means that although I have a perfect salvation, I'm not yet perfect, but bless God, my life, my love, my longings are not for the things that were, bless God, to be, but are for the things of Christ, the things that will please my Heavenly Father, and the things that are of another world. You say, really, is that right? Listen to what Paul said to the church. Down at Colossae, I believe, and I'm turning. I want to get this just right. I believe it's Colossians chapter 3, and it is. Listen to what he said. He said, "If then you be risen with Christ," which means in light of the fact that you have been, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." And oh, friend, I'll tell you, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, this is what it means. Now look, we're living in a strange time. We're living in a day when information is totally available, but wisdom about it is totally ignorant. There's a lot of people that think that, well, because I'm not a Muslim, because I'm not a Buddha, because I'm not a Catholic, I'm a Christian, friend. Hey, you know what they believe? They believe, friend, listen, that they just are different from some other religion, but there's more to it. There's more to it. You say, what's it mean, preacher? Well, listen, friend, it it means all that I've said, but let me tell you, it's going to take something more than you just saying, you know what? Listen, you're not a Christian. Just because your family's a Christian, God has no grandchildren. Just because mom and dad were saved, just because you got a history of a Christian heritage in your family, that's not enough. You're not a Christian just because you read your Bible. That's good. Reading your Bible is a good thing, but it's not enough. Hey, knowing it is not enough. You've got to believe and trust Christ as your Savior. You've got to do what it says. Bless God. It's not enough to just have a Bible and read it. Although, again, that's good, but that's not enough. You've got to believe it. You've got to assimilate it. You've got to make it your own. You've got to take it into your heart and in your mind. Listen, you're not a Christian just because you go to church. Going to church is a good place to go. Hey, listen, people ought to go there. All kinds of people ought to go there. There's blessings there. There's peace there. And there's joy there. There's a lot of great things that happen to people to go to the house of God. But I'm going to tell you what, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. You're not a Christian because you believe in God. Listen, we ought to believe. We ought to believe that there is the one true God who created all things, who sustains all things, who is to be feared, reverend, honored, and worshiped, and glorified. But can I tell you something, friend? You need to do more than believe about God. The devils even believe in God and tremble. But you need to believe, bless God, that God's able to save you, make you a new creature in Christ, deliver you from the power of sin, deliver you from your past, and bless God to make you what you've always needed to be in light of what Jesus has done at Calvary. You're not a Christian, friend, because you live a Christian-like life. You know the language. You know the verbiage. You know how to look. You know how to dress. You know how to do the things that Christians do. Hey, it's more than an external change. Christianity is having a change from the inside that shows up on the outside. Hey, friend, it's not enough, friend, being like a Christian. But you've got to have the life of Christ within you. It's not enough. Bless God. Listen, you're not a Christian because you've been baptized, because you've joined the church, because you give financially, because you've gone on mission trips. The Bible said you must be born again. Being a Christian, according to Acts 26:28, means that you've made a choice. Paul said, listen, Felix, I would to God that you and everybody else listening to me were a Christian just like I am. And to get that, you got to make a choice. Hey, he said in the book of Acts, chapter 11:26, bless God, and they were called Christians first down at Antioch. You're a Christian only. Friend, listen, when your life tells you that it is, it's more than your tongue. It's more than verbiage that you spew out. Hey, you know what? And they were saved down there at Antioch. They began to look at those people that said that there's been a change in them. They knew the kind of sinners they were. They knew that they had been pagans and idolaters. They knew that they had been, bless God, streetwalkers and fornicators, addicted to pornography, drink and drugs, all those things. And when they began to look at them, they said something's happened and there's been a change in them. They look like that man by the name of Christ, and that only begotten Son of God, and that man born of a virgin, and that man that came from Bethlehem. Hey, listen, that's what it means to be a Christian. And let me give you one more before I close. According to the book of 1 Peter 4:16, it means that you suffer a little bit. Hey, friend, listen, all that are in Christ Jesus will suffer some. He said, if you don't suffer with Him, you'll not reign with Him. Let me ask you, sir or ma'am, you sound like you're interested in being a Christian. Sounds like you like the things that Christians do and have and say. Can I tell you what you need to do? You need to make sure that if you die today, that you're going to heaven. Need to make sure that your name's somewhere other than on a church roll. You need to make sure your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why don't you go to God right now, listen in faith, and say, God, right now, the best I know how, now. My heart's broke. My spirit's bruised. And I'm coming to you repenting of my sin. I believe that when Jesus died at Calvary, bless God, He died for me. And I hear, if I ask you to save me, you'll do that. I tell Him that the Bible says, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Go to Him today, sir. Go to Him today, ma'am. I repent of your sin. By faith receive Him. Hey, come to learn how what it is to be a Christian in reality. Not guesswork, not play work, not hypocritical work, but in assurance and reality in your heart how that you've been saved by the grace of God. Hey, what it means to be a Christian. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.